Testament, part of the New Testament, a lot of it. He lived in the Roman Empire, and it was very saturated with a lot of leisure and wealth, and they had big sports events and big stadiums. You know how we have big stadiums. How many have ever been to a professional football game in a big stadium or baseball game? Okay. And they had a lot of those, and they had what's called at that time the Isthmian Games and the Olympic Games. And we have the Winter Olympics going on right now, and they had that. And they had these large amphitheaters. When my wife and I went to Israel, we traveled up to the north along the Mediterranean, and we went up to Caesarea there, and there was a huge Roman amphitheater, and we got to go in that, and it was amazing how just things that they had. But they had public bathrooms, everything. They showed you everything. But Paul was used to that and sports, and so he used sports to illustrate spiritual truth. And tonight, I want to do that, if I could. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 for our sermon. And I want you to notice here that Paul compares your struggle against your spiritual enemies to these kinds of sporting events. And once you experience the Holy Ghost flowing through you and you go out and give the gospel and get people saved and then lead them to get baptized, you have a big target on your back. Once you get locked in, you have a target. You know, if you go down to my office, you'll see a great big buck down there, the head of a buck. How many have seen the big buck in my office, the head? I got that buck on the last day of the season, and I had guys that said to me, they called me Rev. They said, Rev, you just sit here, and we're going to take our guns and lay them down because we can't go through this Christmas tree farm with our guns. But the bucks are smart. They're hiding out in the Christmas trees. So I sat there with a 35 Marlin with a scope, and they went through, and they were going, ah, ah, on the last day of the deer season. All of a sudden, after I waited an hour, this big old buck comes out, the one you see in my office, and I just went, pshh. And then we trailed him. And I'm just saying that the devil doesn't like it when you get people saved, you see. And the Bible says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. James chapter 4, verse 7. I have been noticing this week, the devil has really been bothering me, hindering me, pestering me. I can smell his sulfur, and it's not like a huge evil day, but I can see Satan doesn't like it, what this church is doing, what you're doing, if you are submitting yourself to God, and if you submit yourself to God, Satan will attack you more directly. I appreciate Diane's testimony tonight. That shows she's submitting herself to God, to be used of God. And if you do that, listen to me tonight, Satan's business is to hinder you directly and attack you. A lot of Christians, unfortunately today, there are a lot of Lots. You know what a Lot is, L-O-T, Abraham's nephew. There are a lot of Lots. And what I mean by that is you don't give the devil much trouble if you're a Lot. You're more or less kind of pulled aside by your own carnal desires, and you're following them, and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And you need to yield yourself to God. Brother Hiles did that 7 times a day. He would say, Lord, I'm dead and buried and risen. I yield my soul and spirit to you. The Holy Spirit is one that's alive from the dead, and I yield my body to you, and I ask you to work through me and cause me to think and say and feel what Jesus would. Were he walking in my shoes? He'd do that over and over again. And God would bring things his way. And he had a supernatural life and walk with God. And you can have that in your life. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. And so keep in mind these things and turn, please, to 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. Many of you have already turned there. And I want to read a verse that I'm going to give you as the text. It said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." And the name of my message tonight, I'm going to take one of those sports metaphors and give the title of my message, which is called "Knocked Down, But Not Knocked Out." And that's my favorite sport of boxing. So, and the first thing I want to say, if you look at verse 9, the second part of it, part B, it says, "Cast down, but not destroyed." Okay? Have you ever heard a boxer, and you're watching a boxing match, I'm sure you have, Brother Jose, and you say, "That guy destroyed that guy. He destroyed him." And what that means is that he knocked him out, so that he was counted out. Or it was a TKO where the ref had to jump in and stop it. But he's knocked out. He can no longer come back for round 5 or 6. Or if he got knocked out in the 4th, he can't come back. The fight's over. He lost. The guy won that knocked him out. So when we say, when the apostle says, "Cast down but not destroyed," it means knocked down but not knocked out. Cast down is the original language word karabolo. Katabolo, and it means down and then thrown down to the mat. It fits a boxing match because it means to be knocked down. Now, it's not knocked out. It's not destroyed. He's still in the fight when he gets knocked down. I don't know if you've ever been knocked down in a boxing match, but it's very disoriented to be hit so hard that you're knocked down and you fall on the canvas and you wake up because you've lost consciousness. Where am I? And if you're an experienced boxer like the pros, they say, "I know where I am. I got knocked down. I got to get up. I got to get up." But their brain is not functioning and properly, so they have to sometimes get on their bicycle and try to move around and get their brain back. But that's what we're talking about. And So I'm thinking about a fight years ago between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. They had 3 fights. And in the first fight, I believe it was, if my memory serves me, Tyson Fury was doing well on points. But it was going to be, he was just a little bit ahead. But in the final round, Deontay Wilder, who could really throw a punch, he whacked him and knocked him flat down. This guy was a big guy. I don't know, 6'8" or something like that. Huge guy, 300-pound Tyson Fury. And he got knocked down to the mat. Now, you said he's not going to get up. He's not going to get up. He was down for the 9 count and bounced back up. And he managed to finish the round. And he finished the fight. So he got knocked down. That's what the apostle's saying. Cast down but not destroyed. He didn't get destroyed because he got back up. And guess what? He kept his title because the fight was deemed a draw at that point because Deontay caught up by, and they fought another fight and Fury won by points. Then they fought a third fight and Fury won. So he took 2 out of 3. But I'm just saying that he got back up after he got knocked down. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's saying, "I have been knocked down by the devil, but I got back up. I didn't get destroyed." And you're looking at a man, "I've been knocked down more than once, but I got back up." And that's what I believe the Apostle Paul is saying here to you. There will be times when you just want to quit. If you yield to God, Diane, you just described that. You want to quit, but just decide to do it tomorrow. The guy that was credited with killing Osama bin Laden, he said this: "There'll be times when you want to quit, but just decide, okay, I'm going to quit, but I'll do it tomorrow." That's a good one. And then when you see tomorrow coming, if you still feel like quitting, just say, "I'm going to postpone it another day." And then if the next day comes, you still feel like quitting, just say, "I'm going to postpone it another day." If the next day comes, you don't feel like quitting, good. All right, you're good. And so I'm just saying, I remember When we first got involved in planning this church in Scranton, we lived in an apartment on Madison Avenue in Scranton, and we had a ranch. They gave us a ranch, and we had horses, and we had kids from the city come out. You know, we had a camp program out there. My wife, that's where we... Well, it's a long story, but my wife was asked to be a counselor at that camp. And I remember while we were working on the camp, there was an old preacher, and we asked him, "Are you still preaching?" He said, "No." "Well, why not?" He said, "I got the preach knocked out of me." You know, there are a lot of guys like that. They got the preach knocked out of them. And the devil wants to do that with you. He wants to get the soul winning knocked out of you. He wants to get the prayers knocked out of you. He wants to get your going to church knocked out of you. He wants to get your following Christ knocked out of you and just to quit. And so I believe that, you know, how the poster goes, Uncle Sam wants you, the Lord wants you back in the fight. He wants you back in the match. And you know how sometimes they give them smelling salts? They wake up like that and get back in there. You know, here's what you got to do. And you got to, well, I'm like that guy tonight. I'm giving you the smelling salts. I'm saying, get back in there. Get back in there. And so don't let the preach get knocked out of you. And, you know, Satan's been hitting us. I believe that... you know, I looked at our membership. We've grown to total membership, over 170. We've been doing soul winning, and that's been growing. We had 28 out last week just to go soul winning. We've had preaching on revival and praying for revival. I know Dr. Luke has been praying for revival as a teenager. Let me tell you, Satan's noticing all that. He does not like it. When you go to the altar and you make a commitment for God, he knows about it. And if you really follow through on it, now he says that guy's not just, or that girl, they're not just going through them, they mean business. And then he goes to hit you. And it's really an honor to be hit of the devil, because see, Paul the apostle had the devil just throw him. And you know what? I've seen boxers, they don't get tired. They can throw so many punches. You know, the devil, he just never gives up, does he? And so you need to realize that, and you need to realize that don't let getting the wind knocked out of you stop you. I remember I played football with my friends when I lived in Michigan, and I played football at Dave Stafford's house on 36th Street. I lived right off 36th North. Dave Stafford still lives there. When I went home to Michigan, he stopped by and saw me. He's married and grandpa now and all that, but he has a house near there, right near my house. Dave Stafford, you know, he's a great guy. His dad was a teacher at the school where I went. But anyway, we played, and all these guys were older than me, and I was running the football, and one guy hit me, boom, and he knocked the wind out of me. How many have ever had the wind knocked out of you? It's a nasty thing. I was a little kid, and I never had that happen to me, and I was like, I can't breathe. And I thought it was over. I was going to die. And I'm freaking out. And I just... And finally the wind came back. I realized, okay, this happens. This can happen if you get hit in what's called the solar plexus. By the way, if you're boxing, that's a great place to hit a guy. It's called a body shot, amen? And so that will stop you. And but I'm just saying that some of you, if you really get on the front lines here, you're going to be hit and you're going to be knocked down, and you need to get back up when you're knocked down. A knockdown is humbling, and it makes you realize you're vulnerable, and you realize the power of your opponent. And if you're not courageous by the Lord's strength, the temptation is just to stay down for the 10 count. I remember a great boxer. He was a Hispanic boxer. He had hands of stone. Anybody know his name? Yeah. Roberto Duran. And he had hands of stone. And I like to watch that guy. I remember watching him as a kid, watching his boxing. And then this young African-American boxer came up by the name of Sugar Ray Leonard, and he fought Roberto. And I thought, that's going to be a fight, you know. But at that time, Roberto was getting a little older, and this guy was young, and that's the way it is, you know. I always say, who's the heavyweight champion of the world?
Age.
That's right, old age, you got it. That'll kill anybody. And so Roberto Duran, he was taking too many punches from this guy, Sugar Ray Leonard, and he said something I never thought I would hear Hands of Stone say. He said, no mas, no mas. Now, to his credit, Roberto came back and continued to box and do great. By the way, I just saw the great Puerto Rican boxer. You know who that is, Elgin. And he just, he's old. He's way up there now. 46 years old, I think. And the guy won the fight and they gave him a draw. You know who that is, Manny Pacquiao. They gave him a draw and he won the fight. But I'm just saying that that's what Satan wants. He wants you to quit because you're getting knocked down. But you need to get back up. You know, I tell people, Satan wants to call me to Florida, he just has to whisper. And I've been going on for 48 years, never gone to Florida, never went to move to Florida, but that's what some people say. They just say, go to Florida, live off the grid, get a place maybe in the panhandle, grow things, have a farm, relax, see, you know, see your grandkids, just have a good time. Nah. My wife is saying, ha-ha, nah, it ain't happening. And I'm just saying that Satan will get in your ear, he'll say, quit. When the going gets tough, leave Scranton Revival Bad. It's too hot here. And you know, I've been knocked down by the devil as a preacher. I've been knocked down. I remember 1984, the devil knocked me down. Our church was growing. Good things were happening, but there were things in the church that were wrong. I know God wanted me to fix those things. And so Satan just, boom, he knocked me down. A bunch of people came after me, and it was a bad time, and people left, and deacons left, and we had to get right with the King James Bible again. We had to get right with God. God was dealing with us. I got knocked down. But I got back up. I didn't leave. I remember one of the deacons said, you're going to vacation in Florida? He said, if you don't stop your preaching, you better think about whether you're going to come back and be in the pulpit here. And I did think about it. And I said, it's him or me. I'm coming back. And I scored a knockout. And I just want to say to you that our church went forward after that because we got rid of some bad stuff and went forward. That was 1984. I remember 1996. That was 12 years later. Boom, another knockout. Not a knockout. I got knocked down. See, catabolo, cast down, but not destroyed. I realized what happened, shook my head, said, the righteous man falls seven times, gets up. I got back up. Got ready to get back in the fight, go for it, you know, get in that fight. And we started going and growing again, and God was blessing the church. And wow, that was so great. And that went on from 1996 all the way up to the year 2017. And in 2017, I got knocked down again. And I had to get back up. And when we got knocked down, it was a tough, tough time. But we got back up again. And you know, what I'm saying is that there was a fight between Rocky Graziano and Tony Zale. And it was in their second fight in Chicago. And how many have ever heard of Rocky Graziano? It was way back before our time, but Joe heard of him. And Tony Zale was called the fighting pride of Gary, Indiana. He was the middleweight champion of the world. And Rocky Graziano was knocked down by Tony Zale in the first round. He was knocked down in the second round. But later, he kept going. He got back up. And later, guess what he did? He knocked out Tony Zale, and he became the middleweight champion of the world. You know, I'm thinking of our country and what a mess our country's been in. I just found out that Obama is tied to this deep state and is now coming out. I just got word on that. And the Justice Department is now pursuing Barack Obama for his part in the deep state. Praise God. Keep praying for that, because his part has been there, but the Justice Department is dealing with it. And there has been an undercurrent of attacks on Donald John Trump. And this attack has been going on. And remember when they tried to take him off the ballot in 20 states? How many remember that? They tried to take him off the ballot. And finally, it got in one state, the state of Colorado, it got to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court of Colorado removed him from the ballot for alleged, not charged, insurrection. And that was really something. So the state of Colorado, the Supreme Court of Colorado said, you could take him off the ballot. Well, that would really be a devastating thing. What did Trump do? Oh, I'm destroyed. I give up. This is not fair. Nope. He appealed the decision and was allowed back on the ballot. And of the 20 states, they were not able to keep him off the ballot. And they impeached him twice, but they couldn't knock him out. Remember? The House impeached him twice. They couldn't knock him out. Why? Because he kept getting back up. They never saw anything like it. The deep state never saw anything like it. We hit this guy, he goes down, he gets back up. He keeps fighting. And then they weren't done there. Remember when they started charging him with all these felonies and then saying, oh, you're a felon, you're a convicted felon. And then they tried to put him in jail and they couldn't do it. God just kept freeing him up. They tried him with numerous witch hunts and they tried to kill him at least two times. Once in Pennsylvania, and once in Florida. They couldn't kill him. My wife and I, when we were young, we used to drive by Donald Trump's house, but it wasn't his house then. It was the Post Mansion. Remember that? We had some good times there on the ocean. It's a beautiful place. We can still drive by Trump's place now, Mar-a-Lago, when we go down there. But he wouldn't be knocked down. What is he, about 78 or 9 years old? I don't know if anybody knows, 78 or 9 years. But the guy is still going. You say, Pastor, what are you saying tonight? What the Apostle Paul said. If you really yield to God and you really stay in the yoke of Christ, the devil will come at you and he will punch you and you may even get knocked down. But get back up. Don't let him destroy you. It says cast down, but not destroyed. And then secondly, when we think of this idea of not being destroyed, knocked down, but not knocked out, that's boxing. I want to look at a second one. It says in verse 8, look at verse 8, the first part, it says troubled, yet not distressed. Now, troubled, the word for troubled here literally means to be under great pressure, great pressure. Have you ever felt you were so pressured that you had to just quit? You had to get out of the pressure? Well, that's what the devil loves to do. He loves to make a committed Christian feel so pressured that they say, I got to get out of here. I got to just eject, get me out of here. Listen, if you want to be something for God, you can't let that happen. Pressured. And if you, let's go to another illustration. We did boxing, let's do wrestling. We might say it this way: you are pressed for pressured, but not pinned. not pinned. In wrestling, when you get pinned, the ref goes, 1, 2, 3, you're destroyed. You're defeated. That's it. So if you have an it says in Webster's dictionary that pressed here means to afflict, to afflict greatly, to harass, to oppress with calamity, to make miserable. If we put that in wrestling, it means to get pinned. So press but not pin. And you can put it in MMA language. It would be pressed but not tapped out. In the Roman wrestling, when they wrestled and they threw somebody down, you know what the gladiators would do to the person when they got them down, like to the, instead of pinning them, do you know what they would do? Do you have any idea, Luke? What would they do? Do you know?
Gouge his eyes out?
That's correct. They gouged his eyes out when they got him down. That meant you're destroyed. That meant you are distressed. You're afflicted greatly. You're under calamity. You're miserable. What makes a wrestler miserable when he gets pinned? What makes a MMA person, when he gets tapped out, he has to tap out, or the gladiator when he got his eyes gouged out? By the way, speaking of that, can you think of anybody in the Bible, one of the men that got their eyes gouged out in fighting for the Lord?
Samson.
He let a woman get to him. That was his weakness. And he got, that woman turned him in for money, and he got his eyes gouged out by the enemy. So would you say that was getting knocked down? Yeah. Would you say that's getting pressed, ready to pin him? Here's the strongest man in the world, and he's ready to be pinned, and it's going to be over with him. But guess what? Samson did not get pinned. He did not tap out. What did he do? He was blind. They were mocking him. He got between two pillars. The Philistines were there having a big party, and they were laughing. They said, look at that's the champion. That's the great strong man of Israel. He killed our people, and we've got him now. And Samson said to the little boy that let him out, he said, hey, can you put me between, I don't have any eyes, can you put me between two pillars? He put one hand on one pillar, another hand on another pillar. There were 3,000 Philistines in the upper balcony of that stadium. And Samson prayed to God. He said, Lord, just avenge me of my two eyes one more time. Give me your strength. And by the way, his symbol of separation was his locks, 7 locks, and they were growing again. And God said, yes, I'll give it to you again. And he goes, and it dropped the whole balcony and killed him and killed himself. And you know what? Samson was a type of Christ dying on the cross and defeating Satan. He was knocked down, but he was not knocked out. And he was pressed, but he was not pinned. He didn't tap out. And thank God for that example. And, you know, in cage wrestling, where you're in a hold, and they put you in a hold, and if you don't tap out, you get you in a certain hold, what will happen to your bones? Do you know? Anybody know? What will happen to your bones? He's not participating. Do you know what happens to your bones? They'll break. They get you in a hold where your bones will break. That's cage wrestling, a little brutal. And kind of like Rome. And so you may be in a hold where you feel like I've just got to tap out. But God can keep you when you're sorely pressed by a hold of Satan, when he's pressing you. And he is able to keep you, the Bible says, so that none of your bones will be broken. You almost tap out, but he gets you just before you need to tap out. And the Lord delivered you. By the way, our Lord was greatly pressed, wasn't he? He was like in a wine press. His blood was being shed for us as he was fighting Satan. And what did Satan do? He tried to get him to tap out. He tried to pin him on the cross and to come down. And he could have just come down and said, get me off here. But he stayed. He did not tap out. He was pinned. I was pressed, but he wasn't pinned. And what did he do? He died, went down to the grave. But guess what? He got back up. He was still in the fight, now greater than ever. And that's what can happen to you. And I don't know, this was Kyle's story. I don't know if it's your story, but it fits here. He was wrestling Brother Eric. Brother Eric had him, but he had him by the foot or ankle, you said, Kyle. I hope this is right. I'm going to tell his story. You're going to have to tell your side. And he was squeezing on Brother Eric's ankle, and Brother Eric would not tap out. And the ankle was starting to go. And brother, he said, tap out. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. So I can't break his bone. He let up. So Brother Eric won. That's a good illustration. Don't tap out. Don't allow yourself to quit because you're pressed in the spiritual sense of the word. And I'm just saying that how does a bumblebee fly? Aerodynamically, it's impossible, they say, but a bumblebee keeps flying, and you need to keep going. So, number one, knocked down but not knocked out. That means what we said in verse number 9, a boxer. Number two, troubled but not distressed. That means pressed but not pinned. That's a wrestler. Number three, let me read it to you. Verse 8, look at the second part. Perplexed but not in despair. Now, what illustration does that go with? Well, let's look at it. Perplexed but not in despair. Verse 8, the second part. And when it says we are perplexed but not in despair, that literally means to go forward but you find no opening to continue. Now, we preached this morning, I want to keep going forward in my Christian life. I want to keep going forward in my prayer life. I want to keep going forward in building a strong marriage. Even though we're older, I want to keep building my marriage. I want to keep the honey in the honeymoon. Amen. I got a beautiful wife over there. I love her. She's my woman. Amen. I hit the prize. I'm living every man's dream. Amen. I want to continue in that. And you young people, that's what you want. You don't want to sell yourself out into fornication. You don't want to sell yourself out. You want to do it God's way and keep doing it God's way and go forward in that. And we want to help you with that. We're here to help you with that. I'm here to fight for you in that. When my daughters were younger, they knew that. Some guy'd be messing with them, and I'd be shaking hands as a pastor as they're going out. One guy took 6'2" and put them on my shoulders. I was in my 30s. Took him around, put him on the ground. I said, don't mess with my daughter again. This was in church. At the end of the but I'm just saying, a woman needs a man to protect her. And sad that some men are creepers. They're not protectors. And they come into the church and they'll creep on you. That's not the kind of man you want, ladies. You want a man that's going forward. You want a man that's serving God. I'm not saying he's perfect. There's no perfect man. But he's going forward with the Lord. And so I want to keep going forward. And this one is talking about that. It says you're going forward, but when you try to go forward, you can't find a way forward. You know, we've never gotten over 3 buses in this church, and now I see we've been coming up, and the devil's hitting us again. And you got to go, but. I used to run football. I was a left halfback and a fullback. First I was a fullback, then as I got older, left halfback, more speed and juking around and all that. But I had a problem in my running. I was fast. They would give me the ball, and I would just take off, man, and run myself right into a 300-pound lineman. You see, I didn't do what a guy by the name of Le'Veon Bell used to do. How many remember Le'Veon Bell played for the Steelers? The quarterback, Roethlisberger, would get the ball. He'd hand it off to Le'Veon Bell, and Le'Veon Bell would come up to them and stop and watch. And watch his blockers, because he had blockers on the offensive line that were 300 pounds, and they would hit these big fat guys on, or big guys on the other side, and knock them away. And Le'Veon then had the speed. Now he had the smarts, and he would shoot through the hole. And you know what? I found out something, that when you're perplexed because there's no way forward in your Christian life, because you're serving God, and that's God allowing that to happen to teach you to be perplexed but not panic. I used to panic, just go into the line. No. Now, let's say you go into, you get the ball, you go, and the blocker doesn't block the guy out. Then what do? Look over here, look over there. Some other blockers opened a hole. You may reverse direction, and you go down that field. If you have blazing speed, thank God I had it back in that day, and I could score, man. I could run. And I'm just saying that is a lot of times a problem with churches. Instead of just waiting on God and getting wisdom from God and moving with Him, they panic and just try to go for, oh, I'm just going. And it's not faith, it's presumption, it's stupidity. And they're not doing it as a team. A football needs to have a team. It has a quarterback, it has halfback, fullback, has linemen and so forth. And it has a head coach. And we need to know how to win in football. And boy, is coaching important in football. Amen. It makes all the difference. And so I'm just talking about, don't panic, but God will make a way for you to go forward. And I want to say something else. God uses both earthly and heavenly angels to help you. Remember Moses, he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they were going forward, man. They were going to the promised land, and they got to a place where there was the Red Sea. And what are we going to do now? There's no way forward, right? We're moving forward, but now there's no way forward. What are we going to do? And they look behind them, and what happened? Pharaoh got hardened again, and he brought the whole Egyptian army after them. And the people said, we're going to get crushed. We're going to get destroyed. We're going to be knocked down. We're going to be pressed. We are having no way forward. We're done. And what did Moses say? One of the men tell me, what did Moses say at that point? Kyle, yell it out.
Stand still and see the salvation.
That's exactly right. Le'Veon Bell, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Are you serving the God of heaven? He will make a way for you. I was out on bus ministry. I was talking to somebody, and they lied to me. They lied to me. And it was very important because it involved counseling and all this. And I didn't know they lied. And I won't tell you what it was about, but it was a lie. And I'm just walking with God saying, God, help me. And I'm going back by one of the houses where they live, and they weren't there. I handed out a flyer and all that. And then I see a guy that the lie was told about. And I thought, I'm going to pull over and question him and see. And the guy lied. But then I questioned him more, and he said, no, this is the truth. And you know what? God will make a way for you. I'm the pastor of the church. I'm responsible not only for soul winning, but for discipline. And I want folks to be repentant and to walk with God. If you're a member of the church, this isn't a social club. We're accountable. And God helps me over and over again to find a way to deal with people when they're being sneaky and they're trying to do things that could hurt the church. Remember Peter, when Ananias and Sapphira lied to him? And what happened? God showed him, and he gave them a sentence. He gave them a sentence. And there is judgment in the church. Not judging means don't judge out of your area. But this is my area. I am the overseer. And God says, take care of it. And so he helps you to do it. Don't be perplexed and panic. believe God is going to help you, and he's going to see you through, and you will be truly blessed of God. You know, it says here, it says in 2 Corinthians 1:9, I'll read it. It says, "But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead." So in other words, sometimes you'll be in a situation, you're trying to serve the Lord, and you say, "Why are you giving us this difficulty?" I mentioned the bus ministry. We had a thing where the bus, we had great deal on the buses. Everything was going great. We didn't have to pay for maintenance. We didn't have to pay for licensing. None of this stuff. It was all provided. And the deal was so good. And then they raised the price. And it looked like it's going to stop us. But we launched out and went forward. And it was difficult. Now they just raised the price way beyond. And so we are truly in a place where we want to go forward, but there's no way to go forward. Amen? But God can wake a way. We're trying to buy a bus and pray and ask God to bless. John Payone and the assistant pastor of youth, as they go and look for a bus this week, that we can get a bus. Pray for Peter Judson. He can get a car. And thank God for blockers that will pray. I think of Daniel. He prayed and it took 21 days for the angel of the Lord to go through all the devils to get to Daniel to answer that prayer. Sometimes you pray and you feel like you're not getting through. You're getting through. Just wait on God and keep his way and pray for that, our new bus. We need, I believe now, to get a new bus. And we need blockers. We need blockers who can say, "Hey, I'll do my part financially. I'm in that place. I'll do it. I'll do my part physically to help in the work." We need bus workers. I'll do my part. I'm not just going to sit here on the sidelines. I want to get in the battle. And this message tonight is for you. You're in the battle, and you're being pressed. And you want to go forward, but sometimes there's no way to go forward. Don't panic. One more thing I want to say about that. You know who the best blocker is we have? It's in Micah 2:13. I'm thinking now of a ship that wants to sail into the north, you know, a big ship, and they're going in the north, and you know how it gets full of icebergs, and the whole thing just gets full of ice, and the boat can't go in the ice. Well, here's what the Bible says in Micah 2:13. "The breaker is come up before them. They have passed through, and the Lord on the head of them." Who's our breaker who breaks the way for us? The Lord Jesus Christ. He breaks through, and you can then go forward. And so we are blessed to be cast down, but not destroyed. Knocked down, that is, but not knocked out. Troubled, yet not distressed. That's pressed, but not pinned. We're perplexed, but not in despair. That means no way, but God makes a way. And last one, persecuted, but not forsaken. Verse 9a, the first part of verse 9. Persecuted, get this, but not forsaken. That means pursued. I'm going to use another football illustration, but not sacked. You see, Satan wants to pursue you, to sack you for a loss, and you lose the game. I think of our quarterback for the Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger, in his heyday. He used to get the ball. He'd look to his left for open receiver. He'd look to his left and right for open downfield. Then maybe a down. There's nobody open. So what is he going to do? He scrambled. He ran, and they're pursuing him. They're running after him. But he's a big guy, and he has fast legs. And sometimes those linemen had hit him. He'd just bounce them off, and he'd keep running. That guy was phenomenal in his day. That's what you are. If you're serving God, there will be people. Listen to me. Listen to me. They will pursue you to find a fault in you and bring you down. They're looking for it. Just like I hunted that buck and I brought him down and I had people helping me. Yeah, the devil has workers and help. Why do you think they tried to go after Trump so much? The devil wants to get America so he can bring back the beast, the from the dead and rule the world. But God said, no, it's not happening. Trump is a scrambler. He keeps moving. And so I'm just saying that means persecuted or pursued by Satan's team to harm you and not be thrown down. I remember 2017, the Scranton Police Department, and I knew for years, even when Miss Wolf was here, they did not like our soul winning. They did not like our baptisms. I remember the police came to me years before, and they interviewed me, and they said, we want to see your baptistry. I said, you want to see the baptistry? I said, why do you want to see our baptistry? We just want to see it. Can we see it? I said, of course, come on up. I'll show you the baptistry. So we got in the baptistry and looked in the baptistry, and guess what they were looking for? Peepholes. As if I had drilled a hole in the baptistry and was peepholing in the changing room. And I'm like, wow, they couldn't find anything. You know, like, there's no peepholes here. But I'm just telling you how Satan works. By the way, I'm never back there at Baptist. I'm always out here. Brother Joe's back there. Go after him. No, they always go after me. And I remember one time, the Scranton police, they said, we're investigating you, and we're going to leave no stone unturned until we find something to get you. And then they said this. What did they say? I'm glad I forget things. I can keep going here. They said something else. I forgot. Oh, they said, the only people we want to talk to are not the people that like Scranton Revival Baptist Church, but we want to talk to anybody we think may have a problem with it. And so I'm just saying, when you're persecuted, make sure you tighten up your game a little bit, because Satan is looking for something. Remember Daniel? They couldn't find anything with Daniel, so they had to make up a law against him. So be careful. Walk carefully. The Bible says circumspectly. And I've learned to clean up that any area where Satan could, even the appearance of evil. The appearance of evil. The Bible says don't have that. Why? Because, and I used to think older preachers, wow, these guys are crazy. They're like, really? Like, now I understand it. And you might think I'm crazy. But you're right. But I'm just saying, persecuted, but not forsaken. In other words, you're out there, you're being pursued, but the Lord keeps you going, so you're not going to get sacked. You could keep going, and Trump keeps going, and that's God. And so, what's the bottom line here? Don't quit. The main point is don't let yourself be knocked unconscious and quit. If you feel like quitting, postpone it till tomorrow. If you don't feel like going on, postpone it another day. I guarantee you'll get back up if you're a child of God. You know why? Because the Bible says we've been begotten or born again unto a what? Lively hope. That means that the hope we have for the future is really alive inside of us by the Holy Ghost. I'm so thankful for that, because I've had the wind knocked out of me. I've been knocked down, but thank God my Savior was knocked down. He got back up, and because He's up, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, I can go forward, and so can you, and you should. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed, and we're going to pray. I just want to emphasize the main point.